Yes, today's Samuel story is somewhat shocking. And probably it's the first time that Ark of the Covenant is captured by their enemy. As I was sharing or asking children, have you ever felt in your life they are totally powerless? That it's all somehow pressing and dark. There's nothing you can do to change the situation. You love to give it up, but you can't even do that either. And you turn all aside, it looks like it's all blocked. Have you felt that? Yes. I think it happens to all of us once or more in our life. And what do you do when that happens? You cry, be angry. Sometimes we use that as an excuse to do something that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I saw that in my youth friends. I had two sets of friends I shared in my youth life, which is kind of paradox in my life. So I totally understand the guy, the Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah, I understand it fully, because one side of friends were church youth council. Really good kids. Sometimes I feel like, are they really real? But they're saying all these things. And then the other side of kids were like totally troubled. Like a lot of them ended up becoming gangsters or going to prison later. So I saw this on more of this, the other side of friends that using their life situation as an excuse or justification to be angry. And even to be angry to pour that into violence into other kids. And they somehow justify it. In a sense that their life is already doomed. There's nothing they can do about it. They just be angry and drink. But yet, we all know that what happens when we do that, or when they do that. I know that because I saw their life. And above all, what they were doing was actually just destroying their own life, their own self. Interesting thing is that even if we feel like there's nothing we can do at all, there still is you. And there are a lot you can still do, at least to keep integrity of you as a human and how to react to the situation. And sometimes, as like this scripture, the Ark of the Covenant was captured. It's unthinkable. It's beyond imagination. This is the Ark of God who defeated the army of Pharaoh, Egypt. This is the God who parted the water, who secured their journey through the wilderness for 40 years, and also secured their fight into the land and all their victories. And how could it be just captured in one day? So what did the people of Israel do after that? Do you know? Nothing. They didn't do anything.
They all went home.
To
their own place. Yeah.
And they lived. Isn't that somehow interesting? They didn't try to fight back. They didn't do anything. Meanwhile, if you read the story, the Ark of the Covenant is placed in a temple of Dagon, and it causes trouble wherever it goes in the land of Philistine, to the point that the leaders of the Philistine agree that we shall return it, because it is just causing us trouble. There's so much of allegorical meanings that is actually in this short story. And also there's a constant battle between, thanks to Susan, you know the background a little bit, the Philistines and Israelites. right? It continues. And the Philistines are the ones that Israelites never really fully defeat. And even it says they defeated them, they somehow come back and come back and come back. And in Swedenborg's explanation allegorically, Philistines stands for faith alone, or truth alone, or knowledge alone. So there is this, in a big scale of our human life, there is this huge desire and attraction to know something. It is almost innate to us that we want to know, like seeking the truth. This is my 17th year in parish ministry, and I have met many seekers of truth. But I have met very rare actually living the truth they are seeking. See, truth is not about you seek to see and know, in my understanding. Truth is you're seeking so that you change your life. But it has kind of becoming, it has been true since probably beginning of the human history that we have a tendency to have this intellectual entertainment. That you seek, you know one thing, you seek another, you know another one, and you feel like you are getting better and better and better by knowing more and more and more, to the point sometimes that you look down on everybody saying, I'm the best, I know the most. And there's a deep danger in just accumulating this knowledge alone. And there's warnings, right, in everywhere. And sometimes it is nothing else but this knowledge alone that we accumulate that actually gets us into trap and make us to feel that there's nothing more we can do. In my life, I have felt such a deep hopelessness about three times. And first was when I was six. I shared with you a few times that that's the first time that I was asking, why was I born? After fully understanding that my mother left me and my dad was gone to some other, and I am living with my grandma who was very grumpy and angry. And my mother came back when I was 11, and she took me back. She said, would you like to live with me? I said, of course, yes. And she took me back, but she put me into another house than where she lives. And in the house was actually childhood demonic uncles, especially the elder one, and he was at their house. And I was living there with him again about a year and a half. And I was 13. I felt that I had it enough. I don't want to tell you like all the details of what happened there. But one of the things that he'll make me to do is massage his foot like 3 hours every evening. And which wasn't fun. So I thought to myself in that little mind, I want to live here. I think I'm done with this. I'm not coming back to this house. So in my mind, I left the house in that day. And during the daytime was fun, right? Playing with friends and doing this and that. The evening came, and all my friends went their home one by one. About 9 p.m., I found myself no place to go. It's getting dark. It was getting cold. I wasn't really thoughtful, right? I did it in February or March. So it was getting colder. And I didn't have dinner, so I was getting hungry. So I found a little shelter place in this lumber company. And I kind of sat in between those big, huge, you know, lumbers that was kind of stacked up and kind of putting myself. And I wanted to get out of that house, right? to be better, but I had no place to go. What was really sad for me at that moment was that it was not about anymore like that uncle or even about like mother's love, anything like that. It was just that I was hungry and cold. As night gets darker and darker, right? What concerned me the most was I'm hungry and cold. I might just go back. So about 11 p.m., I went back. Nobody had any idea about what I was thinking because they thought I just went to friend's home and came back late. So when I went back to my great aunt's house, everybody was sleeping. I went to the kitchen, had a bowl of rice, and I went to sleep. A little journey that I had. Two lessons I learned from that kind of matches here. Sometimes I just have to accept what it is. And I have to accept that these things I cannot change. Kind of sad. Really sad, actually. But I had to accept that these things I cannot change. And I didn't really see the great future or hope out of that either. I had to accept that too. But second thing I learned is that however it is, this side was still somehow free of that. So meaning, however pressing the situation was, somehow my mind was free to create its own reality. That's where I learned it. In a way, my way to be a Buddhist, probably. That it is not about what is happening outside of me. What is important is what is happening inside of me. It is not about what is pressing me, but it is about how I respond to it. So, to a degree, I did what Israelites did. I didn't do anything. But to another way, I started to create my own self-identity, which is away from these realities. In a way, it was an escape. It was kind of running away. But in another way, that taught me deeply that if I change my side of the perception and I create my own self-reality, somehow that can be stronger. That can bring peace. Even sometimes joy and delight, regardless of what is pressing me outside. Now, if you move it toward this spiritual way, in this time, at this is this story, in our journey, as I shared with the children, when we feel like we're in the darkest time, we are in the most powerless moment. There's nothing we can do. Actually, God is not asking us to do a lot in that moment either. More on the other side, according to Thirumbuk, that's the moment God is working hardest for us because we're so near to change, to reform, to see the light, to go into the light. And it is a challenge. And it is a hard thing because it requires somehow breaking through one reality into another. And one reality is that we perceive there's nothing we can do. It's all blocked. I'm so powerless. And if you move to the other reality, you see different possibility. There's much more still you can do. And at the least, you still have yourself, and you still have choice of how to keep your integrity as a human being. And you hear those stories even from people in those war camps, in the most horrible situations. You still have that choice if you acknowledge. And today's story about this, in the later story, Jesus is talking about East of Pharisees. And Swedenborg's allegory kind of says that Philistines is same as the Pharisees in the later. So he continues to warn about our tendency to, again, to fall into our own trap of, because I know I am so. Like, there's one tendency among many Swedenborgians that I have witnessed, especially there's a town called Bernathen, and there's a few people have a strong belief in that, is that because you read this heavenly truth, you become angel. You don't need to do anything, in a way. You just read, and you're an angel. In a way, just like you say, I believe, and you're going to heaven. We try to simplify things to make it easiest possible. And sometimes God tells us that the truth is, you know, not like that. And sometimes we have to face it. And sometimes we have to endure it. Sometimes we have to carry it. But never forget, that's why I asked you to close your eyes and listen to this teaching. And I'm going to ask you again. Close your eyes, listen to this one again. This is what Jesus says. Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Amen.